America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Coach Raheem Morris joining us, guys. Our Falcons playing some really good football. And, Coach, first of all, congratulations on the win last week. Before we start to look ahead, you know, everybody was wondering what that game was going to look like. And I felt like, and I'm curious to know what you think, you know, I never felt like they were going to at any point take control. Now, I know you're on the sideline and you might feel differently, but Mike and I, we're in the stands like things are rolling for us. We're getting stops. I even thought the touchdown where, you know, the tip ball where they catch it in the end zone. It's like, okay, sometimes luck goes your way. But where do you rate that as far as the four quarters and our play compared to what you've seen so far this season?
I think that was a good example of us being able to dictate terms. That's really the way I like kind of describe that. It was like you came out and you really got a couple drives stalled because of some self-inflicted wounds. The holding that we got earlier, the next holding that we got, we jumped offside. So those are the things that kind of stopped us from moving the football all the way like we wanted. But on defense, we're able to get some key stops. We're able to actually hit the quarterback twice early in the game. We're able to make them a little bit skittish in the pocket and have to move around and make some plays like they did in the touchdown play, which you're referring to. But we're really able to control the game. Right. And we're able to do a lot of really good things when it came to managing the football game the right way. They had a really special returner, and you wanted to keep the ball out of his hands. We made a mistake on our first kickoff by getting it to him.
Save me that question. There you go.
Which was huge, yeah. You know, to get that penalty on that play. Our guys playing penalty-free football is a big part about how we want to play. Obviously, you saw the plan when we kicked it away from him the rest of the game, and then you got to worry about him in, like, the punt situations. And I was really proud of how we were able to mitigate his ability to hurt the game and really be a game wrecker on our special team standpoint. And, like, that was just the whole key of being able to win the games. That's why it probably felt really good for you, and it felt better, and it felt like it wasn't as close as the game actually was because of those things and those factors. You know, but there's still a lot of things for us to improve on, right? How to close out games better with our four-minute offense, you know, how to not let them score that last touchdown,
yeah,
things of that nature. And then, like we talked about early, how you don't hurt yourself by jumping off sides or getting a hold in. That really makes drives a little bit harder on yourself. And, like, if we could do those things, those are the things that you're constantly working on with that growth mindset as a team that really calms you guys down.
Coach Riles with us, guys, inside the Ticketmaster Studios. Second week in a row, you guys sniff out a fake punt. As teams are always a part of the game, but, man, teams is really killing it.
You know, I talked to Marquise Williams, who's, I think, in my opinion, is the best special team coach in the National Football League, and, you know, his assistant, King, and what they're able to do and how they are able to distribute the information to our guys at a very skillful manner, at a way that is understandable, is relatable. And for those guys to have likable, learnable systems, I think is the most important thing. And our guys are prepared and ready to do those things at all times. And not to say that nobody will ever get a fake punt on us or make a play, but I know our guys are prepared and ready to do it. And if a guy is able to out-execute us, they will. But, you know, for Brooks to absolutely know a guy off our practice squad that we're able to elevate, be able to come up, you throw a pass on him, there's no pass interference in that situation, to be able to knock that pass down. You know, there is holding, so you can't hold the guy. But, you know, all of those things, all of those rules, all those things that take place within those walls of the classroom that translates out to walkthrough that then goes to practice – I couldn't be more proud of the things they're doing.
I'll be honest with you. I was waiting after those first two sacks for you to turn to the audience and go, are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Where's Dukes and Bell?
Where are they? Where are these guys who keep killing me about these sacks?
That's not my style.
We know, Coach. We know. But here's the deal, though. We did get three in the game. And Caden Ellis had a hell of a game. My question is, our linebacking core is getting healthier. Anderson and I don't know what the update is, but you know, getting these guys back, is that a part of the plan to incorporate more of those guys helping with the rush? I don't know if fans pay enough attention, if Falcon fans are saying, hey, we've been doing that. Coach, we just haven't been getting there. Is there going to be more of that? That's my question.
You know, you have to do those things, right? And then it's kind of like what we talk about every single week before we actually registered a sack for you guys, right? It was like, hey, I see it in practice. In practice, preparation eventually equals game reality. And that was closer to what I've been seeing every day in practice as opposed to what we've been giving to you sometimes on the weekends, right? You got to go out there and execute. The guys got to go out there and play. But you can definitely look forward to seeing more Troy. You can definitely look forward to seeing more Caden. You can definitely look forward to seeing more of those guys come in, Nate Landman, or whatever the case may be, along with the outside backers and the inside people that rush for us, are just giving more production off how they play and the way they're going to go about their business. It just – I feel really good about the guys that we have, and I have for a while.
Right.
And I was happy to see some of the results come out so everybody else can see it as well.
I don't want to ask you to speak for your general manager, but a lot of folks were wondering where we're going to make a move at the trade deadline. We never know what the ask was, what you guys were evaluating, guys that were available. I know you can't mention specific players. Were you pursuing, as best you can tell the audience, were we pursuing anything at the deadline, just couldn't come to fruition?
I always give you guys stuff, but you know, Terry does such a great job of really scouring the roster at all times and finding ways to improve. And like at this time of the year, really, general managers across the board talk to each other. And there's shoppers, there's buyers, there's all kinds of guys. And there's sometimes people just calling to inquire about different things. And like you're always fielding calls, you're always talking. So I'm sure you talk about all these things. You get a couple of different scenarios on the table. And if something realistic were ever to come to us, Terry will walk down the office, be able to talk to me, go through the process, let us make decisions together. We're always going to do things collaborative. It's just on collaborative on get hired day, right? Mm-hmm. It's collaborative throughout the whole process, right? And it's a collaborative efforts between myself. You know, we always incorporate and talk about it with our owner. We always talk about it with our people that are really in charge, our coordinators on my side of the ball. And on his side of the ball, you're talking about Kyle Smith, you're talking about Ryan Pace, you're talking about Tumbo. All of those guys are all involved. So like, we try to involve as many people as we can to make sure we bring the right people in there, first of all, and we're able to add people that's going to help us and give us value that we want and that makes sense for us. So, you know, nothing went down yesterday, and it's exactly what it is. But you can't forget how much you like the people you have. Like, all of a sudden, overnight, I didn't stop liking my guys.
Right.
I love my guys. And, like, I love the fact of who we have. I love what we have. And I love what we can even get better, right? Like, we got people that's not playing at the level that we're going to get them to play at, and I can't wait till it happens.
Coach Raw, at camp, I kept talking about Darnell Mooney, and I said, I think he's going to have a special season. A lot of people said, whatever, Dukes. You're crazy.
Okay, I might have said that.
Five touchdowns, 588 right now.
I think six, isn't it?
Correct.
Oh, no.
Five after this weekend.
Drake is six.
Did you know? Did you have any idea that this connection was going to be what it is with him and Cousins?
This is not the me show. So this is what I'll say. I say Mooney was a product of playing against him and recognizing who he was as a player. Also collaborating with a guy that took him in the draft in Ryan Pace. Also knowing the kid from his draft process and what he brought to the table, the seriousness, the demeanor, the quickness, the need, it all fit. So when we're able to go get him, who knows, you're going to be able to come out and have as much success as he had, but we knew he'd be the consistent contributor for us, and he'd fit opposite of Drake perfect.
Right.
And so when all those things added up and made sense for us, maybe not to everybody else in the league, but for us, we knew it was a guy we wanted to go target and go get, and I couldn't be more pleased with the stuff that he's doing right now.
What's up, Darnell?
Coach Ross with us, guys, inside the Ticketmaster Studios. Early start today with an early practice, and one of the cool plays, we talked about it on the show on Monday, Diggs is kind of confused, out of position. Cowboys don't know what's going on. All of a sudden, Mooney, it just breaks for a big play. Kurt sees him, and it seems like you also got them to burn some timeouts as well, which is always part of the game, too.
It was awesome. You know, the execution, you know, we talked about the clean game that Kurt played the week before, and then he follows it up with a cleaner game. You know, and it's like right. The execution, the understanding by Kurt, I pick on him every week. He goes through this process. He's a maniac on Wednesday where he's angry at everybody, it feels like. And then by Thursday, he loosens up. He's able to go out there and practice. And then on Friday, he's all angry again. And then Saturday, he's this great human. And then Sunday, he turns into this alien that we know has changed, right?
Right.
And like, that's his process. That's what he goes through, and he laughs at it, whatever the case may be. But his connection with those guys and those guys being to go out and execute the things that we talk about and the situation that we see it on, it's really coming to fruition for all those guys, and I love it.
Coach, my words, not yours. The Saints are a mess. Does that even matter with all that's happening in their house as to how we approach this weekend, what we do anything differently? Like, because people always feel like, I think fans feel like, you see and hear all that and you go, and like, we can't take anything for granted, right? We this is the Saints. This is a rivalry game, regardless of what's happening.
So this is what you got to know about all of that stuff. The perception from the outside looking in is that they're a mess. The reality is what the Saints make it, right? We've been in that situation before. We've been in that situation even with us right after the draft. And we just come out and you go through your process and you got to believe in what you're doing. So whatever they got going on in the house doesn't matter to us. Our preparation has to be as if everything's in line, they're coming in all guns blazing, and they're ready to go. And we got to be prepared to play our best game. And that's what we're doing. We're trying to figure out a way to go through our process. We're trying to figure out what's best for us this week. We're figuring out how to go out there and get our next victory. The what it takes means going to happen. We're going to go through our practice. We're going to go through our game. We're going to go through everything. And we're going to end up in New Orleans, and we're going to be playing a real football game. And then once that starts, Alvin Kamara is going to be there. You know, David Carr is going to be there.
Yeah.
They're going to have significant players on defense going to play, Alante Taylor, and those type of guys. And that matters.
Coach Ross with us, guys, talking about the Falcons and the Saints. I know we'll get the injury report coming up here in a bit. But, Drake, you feel he's going to – is that be game time, or how's that looking?
You know, I feel good. I'm not in the business of hiding guys and trying to act like they're not going to play. But I really feel good about Drake playing. Okay. I feel good about where Drake is. We said he was day-to-day. And, you know, obviously we'll get more information as we get a chance to practice tomorrow, as we get a chance to practice on Friday, as we get him through the process. But Drake's a competitor. And it's not more for that he wants to be out there for his fans than go play football for his guys.
Coach, did that happen on the touchdown? I mean, I didn't know or had an idea of when that play took place. All we realized was he was on the sidelines.
It was, you know how the adrenaline's going. So it could have been the big explosive play caught right before, right, and then it happens the touchdown. But when he came off, was when he felt it. He tried to go back in, couldn't make it quite back in, and then he was out for the rest of the day.
Raheem Morris, in this interview brought to you by our friends at the University of Texas, MD Anderson Cancer Center, here live at Flowery Branch. Coach, I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but I got to ask this question.
You always start off with such a defensive question.
Well, because this is going to be asked, and then you're going to look at me the way you look at me, and then you're going to be like, why the hell did you ask me that?
No, but, okay. I'm not.
Man, I'm all ears for this one.
All right. We knew Michael Penix wasn't going to play.
Yes.
We knew that. Rook is hurt, but he has played.
Yes.
Trice, injured. Dorless, hadn't played.
Yes.
Those are our first four picks. And yep. And fans are saying, what are we getting out of this rookie class? And I don't know if it's fair to judge this class quite yet. We're not, you know, we hadn't seen enough of these guys. But that's something, and we're winning in spite of that, Coach. The depth on this team is showing you that even without playing some of these rookies, because you were in a place where you guys played rookies last year in with the Rams, and those cats played really well for you. That's not been the situation here. As we said, some of these guys have played. How do you evaluate this rookie class?
You don't. When you go out and you want to draft people really from a year off when you're a good football team. When you're not a good football team and you got to play those rookies and you put them in those situations, sometimes they're not ready, you can expose them or they have a bunch of success. Mm. And usually you kind of mitigate it by giving them good plans and things they can go out there and execute and let them play really fast and let their talents come out and let them flourish. We got a good football team. Like, I adapted a good football team. I when I got hired here, it was a good football team. The excitement about the team was because of the team. It wasn't because I was coming back to hang out with you, but it was because of the players that was on the team. Bijan Robinson, so we're not going to play Jace. Tyler Allgeier, so we're not going to play Jace. Grady Jarrett, David Onyemata, you know, like, the guys like that, they limit the ability for those young defensive tackles that we got behind them. They're not going to play as much. TQ, Zach Harrison. You got guys you draft in the second round and the third round years before that. I really got some experience to go out there and play really well for you. AK on the edge. Obviously, Trice got hurt. Rook's been hurt. Rook's jumped into that lineman and got into the mix, but he got his ankle. And then, obviously, you know, Michael Penix, that was a plan for the future for the whole time, right? We went out and we addressed the quarterback situation, which we felt we had to address in our whole building. That was the number one goal. That was the number one thing we wanted to do. And went out and got Kirk Cousins, and he is paid off in a big way. And then you go out and you get Michael Penix for your future because you don't want to go through those situations again that we've been through with the last 7 years. We don't ever want to do that again. And now we got two guys in the building that we feel really great about. We got a bunch of guys in the rookie classes. Some have been playing different roles, whether it's been JD on special teams, a little bit mixed in on the inside linebacker spot where we had guys out.
Right.
And now he can ease back out the linemen as Troy's and the Ellis's and all those guys that you're excited about come back. And are you going to use them more in a rush plan? Yeah, of course. So when those things happen and you're
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Able not to play some of these rookies, that means you got a really good football team.
We talked about Ebba Cady earlier.
Noah's a little different for us, right? Right?
Right.
For real. Like, that's exactly
right. Well, we talked last week about Braylon Trice, and that's just, look, we'll never know. We'll have to wait till next year, but he looked like a rock star in the small sample size we got to see of the dude. Braylon Trice will be here next year. Arukuroro will eventually get back. Ebba Cady, we talked about last week. You just mentioned Caden Ellis. Caden Ellis had 7 sacks 2 years ago with the Saints. That's a guy, is that what plays into maybe with Jimmy Lake's plan? He gets more involved than walking him up and trying to get him on the quarterback.
There's no doubt. I believe he's leading all inside linebackers with pressures and some crazy rush stat against stats, right? You guys go dig those things up and talk about it. But
it's right.
He's doing some really good things rushing the quarterback. We just hadn't got some of the results of the sacks and things of that nature. But last week getting a sack, recording that. Last week having 13 tackles. I believe he hit the quarterback. It felt like 9 times.
Yeah.
But he was all over the place for us. And that's how you want to play. That's the vision you have from day one. But I tell you what, you don't have to peak in this league right at the beginning, right? You want to peak as we're going, and as you hit this stretch run, it's start to figure out who you really are.
Was there anything different, real quick, just wrap up, about the new – anything different the guys had to pick up on the Jimmy Lake defense? Is there any nuances they're getting better at as the season's progressing?
There's like a little bit of understanding how a guy calls it, how you want to go through your process. There's always a small learning curve of all those things, and there's always going to be give and take to both sides. You got some really good football players like we just mentioned here. You know, you got a great mind upstairs, Jimmy Lake, and all the coaches that we're able to bring in, whether it be Jay Rogers or whether it be Jaquie Smith or whether it be Jerry Gray, people that have been here, all these guys getting together and collaborating. And now you're starting to see AJ start to play really well. You're starting to see Ellis play really well. You're starting to play Grady, start to pick up where he's left off and what we've known him from and do some of those things. So like that learning curve is going to happen. It just happened a little bit faster for us on offense, and now it's starting to happen for us on defense. And hopefully we hit a wave and get all those things clicking on the cylinders and like Marquise Williams has been doing on special teams all year.
Coach, Saints Sunday, I'm not sure if Taysom Hill's back. All I know is when he's in the game, he's going to run the ball. He's running it.
You assume he's back if he's not.
If he's not. What do we need to do Sunday?
We got to stop the run. You know, make no mistake about it. They got whatever you want to call Taysom. We call him the Joker because he's the wild card.
Yeah.
Right? He can play anywhere he wants to play.
I thought it might be a four-letter word you call him.
He can play. You might call him that when he's not listening. He can be the quarterback. He can be a fullback. He can be a tight end. He can be a tailback. You know, he may line up at wideout. He's all over the place. So he's the Joker, right? And he does so many good things, but the best thing that he does is run the ball.
Right.
And then they got one of the best, if not the best, running back in the National Football League. And we got to find a way to stop the run. You know, obviously, they got some receivers down, but they got some young guys going to be out there playing. But you got to go out and stop the run. It's a little bit of old school football. They got like the old school mentality, two backs in the backfield, like kind of like when you played. But they got a little downhill run game.
Coach, chance to go 5-0 in the division.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Let's go get another one in New Orleans.
Let's go get a win.
All right, appreciate you, Coach.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.